Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 23. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You've got to pray Psalm 19 before you preach on this text, where Jesus warns you to beware of false prophets and says that by their fruits you'll know them and so on. This is a really disturbing passage of the gospel to me, because he says a bunch of things that make me uncomfortable. Among them, they're going to come to you in sheep's clothing, inwardly they're ravenous wolves. They're hard to identify. And then you get to the end of this, and Jesus is saying they're going to be able to do mighty works. They're going to be able to cast out demons. They're going to be able to speak in his name. They're going to be able to declare mighty deeds. If they can do great things, then how do you judge their fruits? If they can do mighty deeds, then how do you know who's true and who's false? I mean, I've often thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to walk in, do a great big miracle, and then everybody would listen to the rest of the sermon? But then again, Jesus did that and they didn't listen to his sermons. So I guess that doesn't work either. What is it that you look to, the good tree bearing good fruit, the bad tree bearing bad fruit? Where do you find the answers? What is that good fruit? Or does it just mean you've got to be patient and listen to a lot of bad preaching and a lot of false prophets until finally you figure out what they're up to? Which sometimes I think probably is the answer. You've got to listen to a lot of it, and then finally you just roll your eyes and say, "Oh yeah, I just wasted all those weeks." Because honestly, there is a lot that people have to say that sounds good, and as a matter of fact, is within its own frame of reference a good thing. Back when I was an accountant, we used to have a saying that in cost accounting, fixed costs remain fixed within the relevant range. But I always focused on that phrase, "in within the relevant range," because nobody ever defined that for you. That meant, as long as our guesses are right, these are good projections. But if anything happens that makes our guesses wrong, then they're bad projections. You see the same thing with statistics. A lot of people, as they're reading statistics, think, "Oh, wow, it's plus or minus 5%. And what that means is that the actual answer is within 5% of whatever it is that you're saying. But no, when you see that, what it means is if the actual answer is outside of this by more than 5%, then we've messed up somehow. It isn't saying anything about it being true. It's saying that if this is right, then it's going to be within 5% of this answer, which is why you can have a state projected for a president to win as we have a presidential election, or a politician projected to win, and then it goes 20 points the other direction. People claim to know the future, but they always put those taglines. Past results are no indication of future results. Past performance is no indication of future results. You can't figure out anything, and sometimes you're really amazed at how well people are able to guess. I have a trick that I use a lot when I'm watching baseball with people. Did you know that well over 50% of the times when a batter gets the first pitch on a 3-2 count, he'll foul it off? And I'll sit there with my kids or with other people and say, "Ah, here comes a foul ball." And they'll foul it off and say, "How'd you know?" And I said, "Well, this is a rerun." And they'll say, "We're in the stadium. How did you know?" It's a statistical guess, but I'm right much more than half the time when I say that, but it's only because there are things that you can project that way. But is that really prophecy? Because prophecy is actually speaking the word of God. Is that leading anybody to where they need to be? Because I can tell you all sorts of good things, especially about the law, that you need to apply to yourself and apply to your life, and I will be right 100% of the time, even if I'm not being godly the way that I say it. Because the law is going to be true. The problem is keeping the law, which is never something that we can do. That's why all the self-help books look like they're written by prophets. You read the book and you say, "Oh my goodness, these people know me. They're describing my condition exactly. Yes, indeed, that's how my mom treated me. Yes, indeed, my dad did do that to me when I was a little boy. Oh my goodness, and they made me eat green beans too." Just like in the book. But you see, being able to identify those things of this world, or even the law. You know, if you could just do this for yourself, you would be better off. Or if you follow this plan exactly, it's going to work out. It sounds prophetic until you get to the actual carrying out of the deed. And then you realize this whole thing's going to collapse. That diseased tree is good for nothing except to be cut down and burned. What did Jesus say about it? "You search the law and the prophets because you believe in them you'll find salvation, but these are they who speak of me." Or on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to show them all the things concerning him. The prophets preached Jesus. But not just any Jesus, not a Jesus of their own imaginations, a Jesus built on his word, a Jesus built on his mission, a Jesus built on his gospel, which means that it can't be a Jesus who's altered to fit modern society. Well, you know that those will fall and those will collapse. And that actually should be a comfort to you, because it always looks like we're losing to them, doesn't it? You look around and you see all of these churches declaring that they're culturally sensitive to people who are doing all the wrong things. And it looks like we're losing because they can show us statistics and polls that say we're losing. Of course, they've created the statistics and polls in order to tell us that we're losing. You really probably shouldn't believe them. Because victory or defeat isn't in the hands of people. And it's not the result of an opinion poll, and the future doesn't happen because of the way that we project that things are going to happen, or even because they've always happened that way in the past. The future is in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the heavens and the earth. And that judge has declared that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That judge has declared, as far as the east is from the west, so far shall I throw your sins from you. That judge has declared, you are redeemed. You are my own. That judge has declared through his prophets, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, but the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those prophets have declared, you are one in Christ Jesus, and you are all sons of God who are baptized into Christ Jesus. See, the projections that they make don't have much to do with him or your salvation, do they? Which means that they don't have much to do with that which is really true and that which really matters. I have said before from this ambo, this pulpit thing, I always used to get families frustrated because I would walk into the room of a dying person and tell them that they were dying. Families never, ever like telling dying people that they're dying. They hate it, as a matter of fact. And when you tell the dying person that they're dying, usually a family member or two will yell at you in the hallway outside. Somebody's got to tell the truth. You know why? Because it's the only thing that really matters, isn't it? Unless your God can defeat death, everything else that your God can do for you doesn't matter. Unless your God can save you from eternal judgment, then everything else your God can do doesn't matter. Not that there are other gods, but anything that we fear, love, or trust more than the true God becomes our God to us. But unless that God can save you from sin, death, and the power of the devil, it's worthless. You want proof? Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Really, the whole point of Ecclesiastes is you're paying attention to everything that doesn't matter. Solomon says, look, I've had all these things, and in the end, I'm an old man, I'm alone, I'm sad, I'm sorrowful, and I realize I've wasted my life and none of it mattered. The voice of the prophet, but also the voice of experience. So what does matter? That in your life, you hearken to the words that break through the dross, that break through all of the evil, all of the noise, and all of the loud voices of those who are inwardly ravenous wolves, and there hear the voice of God declaring your salvation through Jesus Christ. Your hope, your peace, your joy, which can never be taken away from you. That in spite of all the fears and all the sorrows and all the things that people are declaring, you have to pay attention to. When they threaten your livelihood or your welfare or even your Twitter account, that you say, your word is truth, O Lord. Guide me in the truth. That you listen for the voice that speaks truthfully, that you run to the place where you'll hear it, and that you learn to distinguish the prophets. Because when you find a true prophet, they'll tell you about your hope, your salvation, and give you a joy that breaks through all of this noise, all of this trouble, all of these trials. and gives you real peace. In Jesus' name, amen.